will come back for the second. India have won the test match. India have won the series. They're going to get back for two. India home.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of the 81 All Out podcast. This is your host, Siddhartha Vaidyanathan. And I'm joined today by the regular crew, Mahesh, Ashoka and Karthikeya. All their handles will be linked. Karthikeya posts a Substack regularly, which you should all read. Karthikeya also occasionally writes articles for ESPN Cricket Info. So I'll link all that. We are here to discuss the fifth test that ended between India and England today, the fifth test at Dharamshala. India won by a small margin of an innings and 64 runs, which actually, jokes apart, looks like a small margin when you consider the Rajkot victory that happened, which was by some massive margin of close to 500 runs. Anyway, India won the series 4-1. It seems like we are back to discussing every other India series. I mean, it started off with a bit of England winning the first test. So there was a bit of looking forward to what could happen after that. But then I think as the series wore on, this became, despite all the absences, despite India missing all these players, it became really clear that they had enough depth and too much quality for this English side. Especially in the bowling department. I mean, Dharamshala made it clear, I think the first morning itself made it clear, the first day, that India could call upon Bumrah and Siraj to, you know, make the ball talk in those conditions, swinging conditions on the first morning, on a chilly first morning. And then they could call upon, you know, the quality of three absolutely sensational spinners to then go on and take all the English wickets. So all the English wickets fell to spin on that first day in Dharamshala, even though it could have easily been the other way around with, you know, Siraj and Bumrah taking, you know, four wickets between them. That's how much the ball was moving up front. Anyway, so the moment England collapsed in the first innings, then, I mean, there was very little for them to come back into this test. I mean, India batted beautifully. Rohit Sharma got a fantastic 100. Shubman Gill got like a stupendous 100. I mean, he was at one point, he was just flying. He was looking at his flawless best. And then, you know, young debutant came in, got a 50. Sarfraz playing his first series, got another half century. So, yeah, overall, the batting was just overpowering. England did what they could with their bowling, but, you know, that's pretty much what they could have produced in that, in those conditions, I'm guessing. And then, yeah, the second innings went as usually third innings in India do. So, an innings and 64 runs, India win the series 4-1. And, yeah, I mean, I think by the beginning of it, we were talking about, you know, what England could do, and we were comparing it to the Ashes, and we were comparing it to Pakistan, and we were like sort of looking forward to how good England could be. But, you know, by the end of it, I think it strikes home that how fabulous a side India are at home, how deep their sort of resources run, and, you know, teams coming here and winning is like so, so hard. And England won a test when they were here last series. They won a test this time. Australia won a test on a couple of occasions. But, you know, even like winning one test, it shows you what a massive achievement it is. I mean, looking back, I would say Hyderabad is a miraculous achievement given what has happened after in the series. And we also spoke about it after Hyderabad, how, you know, one outlier innings, you know, played such a big part in that win. Anyway, bringing everyone else in, Mahesh, you can probably go first. Rohit Sharma's, I mean, how does he do it? Who is there to stop him now anymore? Is he like unstoppable?
Who writes the scripts?
Who writes the scripts?
Ekta Kapoor. Nonsense scripts.
I mean, think about it. Like, the guy has scored 100 and it's one of, like, it's probably, you wouldn't even make it to the top 10 talking points of the test match. That's how dominant.
Is it one of his top 10 test innings, even?
I don't think so.
He hasn't played that many good innings, man. Like two innings he have played. Rest all stat padding only. What is there?
Hey, he inspired a team to a 4-1 win, man. Come on, let's give him that. Hey, go
that
for
is
it,
different,
man.
No. That is different.
Like the team which otherwise would have won 5-love, he inspired them to go for a 4-1 victory. No, I think it was such a dominant performance. It was like the perfect home test, right? And you know, yeah, we talked a lot about the team in transition, the team missing key players and so on. At different stages of the series, it was true primarily because we were missing bowlers. And this kind of reinforces KD's point. When you had a bowling attack which comprises of Bumrah, Siraj, Kuldeep, Ashwin and Jadeja, and pretty much all of them firing, unfortunately, Siraj doesn't even get much opportunity to fire. What batting lineup you play pretty much doesn't matter, which is not to kind of put down batting. I'm just saying the batting quality in general is so high. And Gill batted beautifully. He batted magnificently. All that we expect Gill to do, we could see it in this innings. I mean, he made Rohit look reasonably pedestrian. That's how good his innings was. But it doesn't matter if Gill was not available, somebody else would have done the job. But for to get, you know, as I was watching Kuldeep bowl in the first innings, I was thinking, you know, we have read a lot about spin bowlers in the past. We have seen some great bowlers in our cricket watching time. But as a complete package of a wrist spinner, for instance, you know, Shane Warne did not have a particularly good googly. Mushtaq had everything, but he didn't have as much control. Apart from what I've read about Subhash Gupte, for instance, Kuldeep seems like the theoretically perfect wrist spinner, right? He's got the whole package and he's got immense control and he's got exceptional deception. You know, it is mesmerizing to watch him bowl. And I say this as this massive partisan Ashwin fan playing his 100th test, and I couldn't take my eyes off Kuldeep bowling. I know Ashwin did pick up 4 wickets towards the end, but it felt like that was just Kuldeep's innings like stamped all over. And of course, Ashwin came back into his element in the second innings and he bowled. I mean, in fact, if you look at the way Ashwin celebrated the dismissals, it's a reflection of the way England batted. Like, if you look at the first innings dismissals, it was like, okay, you know, I just got them. And even when Duckett got out, Ashwin didn't even bother celebrating. And Crawley, we could give him a lot of joy, for instance. So even Ashwin was not, it didn't seem particularly like, pleasing for Ashwin that he was getting those wickets. In partly helped by the way England batted. And this emphatically puts an end to all this jazz ball sort of hype. And also like the whole series appears a lot closer because of the path dependency, right? Basically for the way it started. If you got the first test as the last test, and it could have so easily happened, it could have been 4-1 the other way around. And it would have seemed like a dead rubber victory for England. And that itself was a very close win. If anything, if you argue that England missed its chance, it's probably the Ranchi test. That's probably a test that they shouldn't have lost. And given the fact that they won a toss, a very important toss, which had such a decisive sort of advantage, and they put up a decent first innings total, then they got India in trouble and still not be able to close it out. That's probably their biggest miss. In fact, Hyderabad was a bit of a lottery that they won. So in the end, the better team won and the better team was much, 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 much better. And as KD would certainly point out, England certainly didn't help themselves to compete the best that they could in India.
The one thing about the first test victories, though, I mean, England won the first test in this series. They won the first test in the last series. Australia won the first test in 2017. And the other test they won was in the middle of the series. But again, that was on a lottery pitch. But I think it makes that first test is probably where teams have a very good chance of winning if the conditions suit them. And I think the fact that in Hyderabad, things came together like really well for them, and then they got this like once in a lifetime innings, and this Olipope, who after that in the series itself he has looked nowhere close to scoring even like 20, leave alone 196. I mean, where that came from, like, we will only marvel at that going forward in the future. But I think the first test is I don't think that teams can necessarily win the fourth or fifth test in a five test series in India, because India quickly like also figures out how to play them, and also figures out they also get better much as the series progresses.
which I think we need to make the distinction that it's not like, okay, like Kusal Perera playing the way he batted is credit to him, right? Sure. He's not going to repeat that too often, but it's credit to him. But in this case, I think there's not much of a difference. He looked equally mediocre there as well. And he got away with a lot. I mean, like the same shot that he got out to, which was an atrocious shot against Ashwin. You know, he got away with a lot of those shots in Hyderabad.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, I think it's a combination. I mean, he was extraordinarily lucky, as we mentioned after that test as well. And as Karthikeya has repeatedly written about and mentioned also. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it just puts paid to the idea that, like, the very next innings, like after 196, he came in Vizag and it was like he had never batted in India before. I mean, that's how he's a very fidgety batter. I mean, that's probably how he is as a batter anyway, even in county and even in England. But it's little odd. Like you would.
I mean, even Steve Smith is fidgety. But I mean, like even Azhar Hussain says this. But I don't buy too much into it. I mean, fidgety is your observation of the way he looks at the crease. But he's a very poor player of spin. I mean, he can look fidgety in England and score a 200, right? But he's just a very mediocre player of spin.
Yeah, but
and
also Steve Smith, when Steve Smith plays the ball, like the moment he's playing the ball, he's not fidgety. He's fidgety in around that time, like in before and after that time. Ole Pope is fidgety when he's playing the ball. So that is, yeah, fair enough. He's a bad player of spin. Or he's a, yeah, that's fair enough. Ashoka,
Om Shanti to all baseball fans.
Don't go after baseball fans, man. No.
I know what baseball is, but my gurus, Vase and Ifi call it baseball. So I'm also calling it baseball from. So Om Shanti to all those fans. But the most important thing that KD pointed out is the one stat that I was looking for, apart from all this, right? Apart from the entire test series, that now India have won as many tests in their entire history as they have lost, which means their win-loss ratio is now one, which is a unique thing, which, I mean, something that is happening for the first time ever. So, I was watching for it. I mean, I was telling you guys also, I think, on the chats that if India win this series by a difference of three tests, that will happen. So, that has happened. So, a little bit happy about it. Coming to this test, this is a worst version of the first four tests, man. I mean, this is the worst possible thing that England could have, I mean, feared. And all their fears came true in the last test, that their batting collapsed, their bowling gave away runs, and then the batting collapsed again. So, and the worst part is that they feared that this would happen on a turner. And this pitch was nowhere near a turner, man. This was still... till the last hit, Joe Root was playing, you know, proper percentage cricket, and he was able to score runs. The point is that he was able to, you know, negotiate the spin from, or let's say he was able to pick the spinners from Jadeja, Ashwin and Kuldeep to a fair degree. So compared to the others, Stokes all through the series, I thought he couldn't pick Kuldeep. I thought even Bairstow had a huge problem. He couldn't pick Kuldeep. Ollie Pope couldn't pick anybody. He has a problem against spin. As you guys said, I don't think he's very good. To an extent, I think that is a problem with Duckett also. He actually plays pace first up. So he kind of, you know, hedges for it by scoring a few runs. But I also don't think Duckett has the game, you know, to negotiate Ashwin or Jadeja or, you know, Kuldeep properly. Other than that, this is a good series for India, man. I mean, despite everything that has gone, you know, not their way, from players being absent, losing the first test and all that, they have done reasonably well. I mean, the bets they took all worked out. They relied heavily on Bumrah for the first two tests. That second test, I think that was a man of the series performance. That one spell alone, they should give him the man of the series, is what I thought. Even otherwise, I think he is the man of the series. I mean, even in this test, the first 1.5 hours, Siraj and Bumrah, the way they were bowling, the others, in another day, in another setting, they would have gotten 7 wickets among themselves in that 1.5 hours itself. These guys were wafting at everything. They were missing so many stuff, Duckett and Crawley. That 64 for no loss was like, I mean, amazing. At one point, I was telling you guys, right? I was watching cricket for that. Both guys were having some 57% control and 70% control. So
yeah, actually, there was a test in Christchurch that's going on, right, between Australia and New Zealand. And it was actually very similar to see the Australian bowlers bowling against New Zealand and India's bowlers that first morning bowling against England because of the conditions and the way they were troubling the bat and moving the ball. And yeah, they could have easily got bowled England out in quick time with that kind of bowling. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so then, I mean, Kuldeep is one thing that I have to mention that in this test, the first innings, I think he deserved to be the man of the match for this match. And I think he was also one of the man of the series contenders, not just with the bat, I mean, ball. He actually batted well, man. Granted, he was facing Bashir a lot, Hartley a lot, sometimes even Joe Root. Granted,
Shukar, you had one job in this podcast, which is to be the flag bearer of all things Ashwin. And he's the highest wicket taker for the series. And you've already nominated two people to be player of the series ahead of Ashwin.
What can I do? I mean, Ashwin is a default setting, man. It's like, if he is part of the 15, he should be the man of the series. That is a different argument altogether. But I'm not making it because it's the obvious thing to do, which they have not done. But I think these are contenders, good contenders. They gave it to Jaiswal, which is okay. I mean, some new guy coming up the ranks, scoring 700 runs. This is his Vinod Kambli moment. Hope he rises from here and not end up like Vinod Kambli. I don't think he will end up like Vinod Kambli. I think this guy actually handles short ball a lot better. So
I thought you were going to say this is his Sunil Gavaskar moment. You're saying this is Vinod Kambli.
He's the Vinod Kambli that we were promised, dude. Like, were promised the Vinod Kambli. So, Mumbai has delivered in that sense. And beginning of the series, a lot of people are saying Gill must be dropped and all that. That guy has done well. 450 runs in a 5-test series is, I mean, it's a fantastic achievement. So,
I mean, he has also done what you have always dreamt of doing. He has told James Anderson to retire.
That everybody has told, man. This guy. Today, you know what happened? The James Anderson's father came to see him play. At least James Anderson himself is like 75,000 years old. His father must be older than time itself, man. I mean, when before
he is,
time was
he's
even
the real
a concept.
Father time. He's the real
father time.
Yeah.
Anyways, so he got 700 wickets. Congrats to him. Now, at least please retire now after 8 more wickets. I think he's waiting to cross one. Let him get it. Give him one retirement, man. I mean, in the whole world, cricketing world will be indebted to England if they finally tell him to stop playing.
Karthikeya, thoughts and prayers.
Water.
Yeah, that's a good reaction. That is the perfect way to highlight this test match. What, yeah? Yeah, go for it.
Firstly, they gave the player of the series to that Jaiswal. It's like, if you're not going to give it to Bumrah and Kuldeep in this series, when are you going to give it to them? Come on. It's just, these people, it's like they don't understand why India won 4-1. Like, you know, it's like the whole series, no, it's such, reading about the series today, now, it's an extremely frustrating experience. You know? It's like, people say random things, man. Like, all the English press is like, oh, it's so frustrating. You know, England had their moments, you know, like, there were just times when, you know, a good hour could have, you know, nailed India. You know, they could have taken them to a victory. They just didn't get it. No, it was not. It was a bloody blowout, man, this series. I mean, it was, this was more one-sided than the 2021 series and the 2016 series. You know, this was a, I mean, the gap between India and England in this series was enormous. India won this test match by an innings and 64 runs. They effectively won the third test match by innings and 4 runs. The whole of India's second innings in that Rajkot match was unnecessary. You know, England didn't even make as many as India made in the first innings. You know, Ranchi, England were such enormous favorites and they still blew it. You know, Hyderabad, England fluked it after conceding a 190-run first innings lead. No, this was a hammering. This was a 5-0 career-ending series for like all of England's senior players. You know, disguised as a 4-1 series in which, you know, everyone is praising Bazball. It's not serious, man. England didn't come with any bowling this time. It's like they decided that they didn't even want to pick any bowling. You know, it's like, you know, Shoaib Bashir, poor guy, he bowled 169 overs in 3 test matches, man.
It's also, the reverse is also true, right? Just as people are saying England had their moments, this, that. I mean, India had their moments to win 5-0. No, like they had a huge opportunity for to win.
They were 28 runs. They were 28 runs away from a 5-0 victory. That's all.
Yeah, and first test was a 190 run lead. I mean, how many tests do India lose after giving 190, taking a 190 run lead? So what about that? Why talk both ways? No, I mean, I can understand you're saying England could have won one more test after fluking one, but then also say India could have won 5-0. So at least balance it out.
Yeah, but that's not the point. No, the point is that England just didn't have the quality to sustain the threat. No, I mean, it's not that they were playing well and then they started playing badly. They were playing badly all the time. You know, I mean, it's like, and I mean, if you're going to say that, you know, England conceded 445 in the first innings and then reached 200 for 2. And this is somehow a winning position for England or a potentially winning position for England. It's not, yeah. They're 240 runs behind. You know, I mean, 240 is a lot of runs in a test match. You know, I mean, in the second test match, for instance, England were chasing 400 in the fourth innings. I mean, that wicket didn't even break. And even then, they lost by 106 runs. I mean, it's like they've been hammered, man, in all five test matches. I mean, except for that Pope's 196, they had nothing to show. Not a single second thing that they've done in this series is like made a dent on the series. That's how bad they've been. I mean, James Anderson is bowling 15% of England's overs in a 4-man attack. It's just not serious, man. I mean, they just didn't come here to compete. I mean, it's amazing to think that that's the case, but that's what the record shows. Like, England came to India with basically two spinners who had never bowled before and two other spinners, one of whom had barely bowled before. They had gone to Pakistan last year. And one spinner who's basically their most experienced spinner, who has nearly 100 test wickets or just over 100 test wickets. But the thing is, just look at it. No, even after those two, like Jack Leach and Rehan Ahmed, had to withdraw, England didn't replace them with any spinners. It's like, what is going on, man? Like why? And then they say big things about, oh, you know, Bazball is reinventing test cricket. And then they also say that, well, you know, 4-1 is about as good as we could have hoped for. Like, both of those things cannot be true at the same time. No, it has to be one or the other. No, either you are reinventing test cricket or you came to India and you expected to get blown away. And as you did get blown away, you know, then it's just, I mean, I know you shouldn't listen to what they say and just look at what they do, but what they say is just gaslighting, man. It's just insulting your intelligence, like of a reasonable person.
I think you only made the comparison sometime during the series that it is a very Trumpian kind of cult that they have created, right? Donald Trump can say anything he wants. Nobody, it's like, come on, man. I mean, you can't take that seriously. You can't take Donald Trump like PR seriously. Just like you can't take basketball seriously.
But Trump, I would argue, is reasonably
Wait, CP, but you're doing their bidding right now, no? You're telling me that I shouldn't take them seriously. Even you have nothing to say about them. No, the fact that they are making up stuff and that they haven't come with a serious squad. I mean, this is England. England have come to India without a bowling attack, which can take 20 wickets. This is a team which has been playing test cricket for like 150 plus years. That's amazing. I mean, this didn't happen in 2012. This didn't happen in 2021. It didn't happen in 2016. It didn't happen in 2006. You know, it's like, okay, fine. I accept that, you know, it's nearly impossible to have an attack as good as India's. But that's not even the standard. They're not even come with a decent attack which can take 20 wickets. Like Australia last year, they came to India. They had an attack which could take 20 wickets. They brought spinners. They found a partner for Nathan Lyon, you know, and they found even a third spinner. You know, even in 2017 when Australia came, they found a partner for Nathan Lyon and he did well, you know. So what I want to point out to readers is and listeners is that this is not just a bad England attack. This is an inadequate England attack. This is a hopelessly inadequate England attack. You know, if India went to England for a series and went with two fast bowlers, both of whom had hardly ever played before, you know, and that's it. You know, I mean, they wouldn't get five test matches. Okay. Secondly, they wouldn't be taken seriously. And if they started making bullshit about baseball or something like that, or some equivalent of that, they would be laughed out of town.
Kartikeya, many teams who come to India come with inexperienced spinners. No, like Paul Murphy and Kuneman, who Australia brought.
Todd Murphy.
But that's not the point, no, Sidhvi. The point is that in Australia played enough bowling to take 20 wickets, no? They played Cummins and Stark and Lyon and Kuhneman and Murphy and, you know, and Green. They played enough bowlers. England didn't play enough bowlers. That's the distinction.
That's true.
England simply did not play enough bowlers. You know.
You can't have a series where for a majority of a series, Joe Root bowls more overs than Anderson, man. I mean, that you simply cannot be doing that.
And that is somehow a tactical masterstroke, really.
I mean, I don't even want to get into what commentators talk about Stokes and what the media talks about Stokes, but this is what happened. And this is not a viable strategy this becomes so apparent when you watch it. No, I mean, let's go back to the second test where India make 399, okay, and 390 something. And out of that, 200 is made by Jaiswal. So already the rest of their batters, we know that Patidar or Shrikar Bharat, they all make unforced errors. So they are in a bit of a trouble. They possibly underscored. And then England, Bumrah has that great spell. England are bundled out for 250. Now they are 140 behind, okay? And then Anderson bowls, takes out Rohit and Jaiswal. So India are 30 for 2. They are not decisively ahead. And then Shreyas Iyer and Gill are batting. And Shreyas Iyer is backing away to Jimmy Anderson and trying to hit a short ball behind the bowler, I mean, straight back. And he gets an under edge and the ball rolls over to the keeper. He could have been bowled. It could have looked very ugly. Clearly, these guys are having trouble and Gill is kind of, you know, nearly playing and missing Anderson. So this is the situation. It is 30 for 2, remember. It could have been 40 for 3, 54 for 4, had Anderson bowled two more overs. Stokes takes Anderson out, and then Bashir and Hartley come and bowl one full toss every over to these two batsmen, to Shreyas Iyer and Shubman Gill. Shubman Gill goes on to make 100. India makes 250. The target is 399. It could have been, India could have made 140 all out if Anderson had bowled three more overs. If Anderson had taken two more wickets, the next batsman is Patidar, after that Bharat, and then Aksar. You didn't have Jadeja. You didn't have this Jorel or Sarfaraz. You had none of those people. If Stokes was the messiah of English cricket, he should have kept Anderson on for at least three more overs and would on for three more overs. Or in that test, if Robinson was playing, he could have kept Robinson on for three more overs. He didn't. Why? That is the question. No, so that question, who is asking? I mean, English media is not asking. The so-called experts who are talking about or writing on English cricket, they are writing a piece, no, on each aspects of English cricket in popular cricket outlets. They are not writing about this. What's going on, dude? I mean, the context is, this is after their miraculous victory. If you are into that whole body language theory, they are on a high. India is like cowering with fear. You know, this is the right up their alley. No, bowl your best bowler. No, when the batsman is uncomfortable facing him, bowl that. No, take wickets. No, that is the problem. That is the way.
No, they're still celebrating his 700 wickets. Even after all this, the focus is on. I was just looking at. I mean, after KD told me, you know, was talking about the last three series. Forget the last three series. Even if you go to the 2001 series, you know, look at the number of overs that someone like Matthew had bowled. Who got bowled 32 overs and 28 overs. He bowled almost as much as the spinners. In fact, in some cases, he bowled way more than Richard Dawson, who was not bowling well. Now, irrespective of how Bashir and Hartley were bowling, they kept on bowling. Anderson did not even share the workload, even though he was bowling all right. And he was only, and in that England in 2001 played all rounders. I mean, Andrew Flintoff bowled 34 overs, plus Craig White bowled 25 overs in Mohali. I'm saying they played five bowlers, and all of them shared the workload. And when the spinner was bowling or not bowling well, they were willing to give the fast bowlers an extended sort of spell. But I mean, KD is spot on. This is a bit of a joke, right? I mean, and it is exactly true that for a test team of this vintage. How can you forget the rest of the jazz about basketball? Just a legit test team coming here and being presented with so many opportunities. I was just thinking, if the previous Australian tour that happened, if they were presented with the same sort of opportunities that this English team was, in terms of a transitioning team and a lottery wicket plus losing a critical toss and so on, they would have made something out of it, right? At the very least, they would have taken a very serious stab at.
What this does to the Indian batter is that they now know that if Anderson comes to bowl, if Wood comes to bowl, if Robinson comes to bowl, they're going to only last four overs. You can just play them off or, you know, be cautious against them. Then you're going to get one full toss every over, man, with Bashir and Hartley. Then, you know, make your runs.
And they had India, you know. I mean, Kohli was not there. Pant is not there. Shreyas Iyer is injured. He's not able to bat more than 30 balls. KL Rahul gets injured. You know, India's middle order has no experience worth the name at all. India used 18 players in this series. Like, you look at, if you show the figures in this series without showing any other scorecards, right? The fact that India used 18 players and England used 14 players. The fact that India had a really inexperienced order from 1 to 8 and England had, you know, everybody from 1 to 8 in England lineup had played at least 40 tests except for Duckett. You know, if you say all that, they're all going to think that England will score more runs than India. You know, and like the emblematic thing, like this Ben Stokes in this test match, for instance, you're trying to tell me that he was okay to bowl after lunch on day two, but not on the morning of day two. I mean, who's kidding here? I mean, come on. I mean, granted, nobody here is a test bowler, but I mean, come on, we are not born yesterday, man. You could have bowled in the morning, no? He could have even bowled in the evening. You know, he came into bowl at 1 for 264. Okay, he bowled a 5-over spell. It was an okay spell. He got a wicket. You know, he got a ball to misbehave on the pitch.
All of the series, so man. What are you saying?
He got all that. But then he never bowled again. The last over he bowled was the 70th over of India's innings. The first over he bowled was the 62nd over of India's innings. You know, the innings lasted 124 overs. No, this is the sort of thing which invites all the usual psychobabble, you know, that England were beaten in the mind and so on and so forth. You know, but the way England have approached this series, it's a complete joke, man. They're not played enough bowling. They're not even picked enough bowling from the squad that they've got. You know, they ignored one bowler for the first three test matches. They picked him for the fourth test match. They bowled him for 13 overs and then ignored him entirely. And they said he was undercooked. But, I mean, whose fault is that? You know, this is like, it's just from start to finish, it's just completely shoddy, man. I mean, this is not, nobody knows how good the Indian batters are, really. Because, you know, I mean, there was not much bowling for them to, you know, survive against. You know, let's be honest, you know, I mean, Sarfaraz Khan had made merry. I mean, he was not scoring half centuries. He was trolling them for 50 runs. I mean, like, it's just ridiculous. And he gets a half volley every over, or a short ball every over. And then on top of that, he starts sweeping from the stumps. You know, and the thing is, when he does that, like, England have nobody to throw the ball to, like, to change the bowling, to challenge him in some new way. How is this even reasonable, man? And it's like all this, this is not a, England don't think this is a test match. You know, England don't play test cricket anymore. You know, England play baseball, they play ODIs, and they play T20. And they play the 100. Those are the four formats that they play. Then, and
are like, they playing test cricket like 5 days of ODIs? Is that what they're doing?
No, they're not. They're just not serious. I think they didn't think they could compete in India. They knew they were going to lose. And so they basically just, you know, tried to BS their way through the series. This is not, this point has to be driven home. You know, this is not a normal series. This is England. What England have done here is not normal. You know, this, I mean, come on. They have Shoaib Bashir in Ranchi. He came on to bowl in the 9th over of India's innings. He bowled until the 69th over, unchanged. Then the next morning, he started again. He bowled the 72nd over from the other end. And he bowled until the 86th over. And this is not serious, man. This is, I mean, it's not good for Shoaib Bashir. It's not good for England. It's not good for Test cricket. You know, it's just malpractice. I mean, it's not normal. This is not, I mean, any manager, any coach who did this in any setup where there was any scrutiny, they would lose their job, man. They would be sacked if you did that, you know. But, you know, Brendan McCullum sits there with his feet up and that same mad glint in his eye, which seems to be permanent now, you know. And, you know, they're like, it's just ridiculous. I mean, who are they kidding? I mean, the thing that gets me is that, like, they're insulting the intelligence of their viewers, man.
Just to touch back on the batting, yes, the bowling has been ridiculously underpowered. But to touch back on the batting, I also feel like by the end of it, it was pretty clear that it's also not entertaining, man. I mean, there was this whole thing that baseball is at least thrilling and entertaining. But as a spectacle also, it's quite jarring to watch. I mean, you saw that Duckett, right? The second innings dismissal that he had. I mean, easily, come on, you cannot tell me that that is a better way of playing than, you know, the alternative. It's not, man. I mean,
Sidhvi, it's not a question. That's all, what you're saying is all very advanced stuff. You know, the very notion that Duckett is more entertaining than Root is itself like an insult to the intelligence of all the fans who actually bother to show up to watch test cricket or bother to watch a test match, no? Like, people who bother to watch a test match know that you know, what good batting is. They know something about it. You know, what is this presumption that, you know, slogging is more entertaining than not slogging?
If that is your presumption, let's just concede T20 is a better format. You know, then don't say Test cricket is the holy grail.
Don't pretend to like save Test cricket and all, man, or reinvent Test cricket. I mean, you haven't, man. I mean, and the thing is, you see, when England want to play Test cricket seriously, they do play seriously, you know. I mean, England do pick proper bowling attacks when they play in England, or when they go to New Zealand, or when they go to Australia, or when they go to South Africa. You know, they do. You know, it's only when they come to Asia that they do this nonsense. You know, they did it last year in Pakistan. But even there, like Anderson, Robinson and all bowled a lot of overs. England haven't won a Test series since the start of 2023 now. You know, they didn't win in New Zealand. They didn't win the Ashes in England. And they haven't won in India.
Also, the issue is not about the result. We should emphasize here, England losing 4-1 is not the problem. The problem is how they have lost 4-1. And the teams they put forth in the process of losing 4-1.
And the description of the loss, is that they have bought honest-to-earth, middle-class, hard-working bowlers who have done the best. That's the thing. No, they are not superstars. They don't drive Ferraris. These are all down-to-earth chaps who roll their arm over. They did their job honestly from 9 to 5. But they couldn't, they did the best they could. But these batters, you know, they failed. They couldn't withstand the might of the Indian bowling and all that. I would have been happier if they bought a pace-heavy attack to India. We are going to restrict the flow of runs. We are going to be extremely negative. We are going to bowl, you know, a little bit short. We are going to test your debutants. We know that your main batters are not playing. We are going to bowl short, however taxing that may be. We are going to do it. Or we are going to bowl wide outside off and see if your IPL youngsters will take the bait. If they had done that, and whatever the results may have been, then that is innovative thinking. Okay, you don't have a Shane Warne at your disposal. You don't have even a Graham Swan at your disposal. Therefore, you bought your pacers. You backed your strength. You played 5 tests. Whatever the results may be, we agree that that's a strategy. That's not an optimal strategy, but that's a strategy. This is not, you can't pick bowlers who bowl like 8 or 9 or 10 or 20 county matches in England who have never been to the subcontinent. Take them to UAE for 2 weeks or 3 weeks or, however long. Make them practice there and then come to a 5 test match series. I mean, that is not the way you do it, no.
The thing is, India goes to England. Imagine, the situation. India goes to England. Root, Bairstow and Stokes are missing the series because of injury. England's second best seamer is missing the series. And then India go and lose 4-1 there. And in the final test, Rohit Sharma comes on to bowl and gets a wicket. And the whole thing, everybody is talking about that particular over and that particular wicket and how it could have been. I mean, come on, man. I mean, this is a bizarre and ridiculous situation. Why are you even, like, what is the level of delusion you have to be praising Ben Stokes after he's had one of the worst series with the bat against an underpar Indian team? And what? Losing 4-1. Yes, you were still like being hailed as this great messiah of English cricket. At least, nothing against Stokes, all right? I mean, he's a great cricketer. And cricketers have bad series all the time. Man. But come on, man. You can't just get into such a level of cultism that you forget basic stuff.
Sorry, I will make one case for captaincy Kartikeya here. Since this is your favorite topic.
If you bring up Rohit Sharma, I'm going to edit it out.
Listen,
straight away.
Bumrah was stepping in as captain for Rohit Sharma. And look at the 2 DRS reviews. So schoolboyish. Under Rohit Sharma, it would have never happened.
This happened a lot of times under
Rohit. What do you mean? Rohit Sharma, Sarfaraz Khan is like begging him. He's saying, I heard the edge. Fellow is not reviewing. What? Then?
No, that is, the type 2 error is possible, but type 1 error is never going to happen under Rohit.
Oh, interesting.
This guy is starting another cult right in this podcast, man.
No, but actually, to be serious, there are enough. Like, come on, man. I mean, the way Ian Chappell talks about captaincy, okay? I mean, you can agree or disagree with anything he says, but he does not go all out mad about, you know, either praising or criticizing.
I think even Karthikeya has mentioned this before, right? There are people who are better readers of the game than others. There are people who could be better captains than others, just like there are batsmen who are better than others. But it doesn't really influence the result too much. That's the point. I mean, there are good fielders, there are great fielders, but it's not the better catching team somehow has a higher probability of winning, because the basic level of catching in Test cricket is pretty high. That's the point. The point is not that one can't be a greater captain than the other. It's just that it doesn't add up too much to the advantage.
When are we going to talk about the main issue or the main thing of this Test match? 100th Test match for Ashwin. 517 wickets.
You have no right. You have no right to talk about Ashwin now.
Why?
In your first initial sort of response, you are saying Bumrah is a candidate for player of the series.
Kuldeep is a candidate for player of the series. Candidate, man. I didn't say they should win.
Ashwin should have taken voluntary leave from the series, gone and played for Tamil Nadu against Mumbai, made them enter the Ranji Trophy final, and then come back and play. So that would have been a far better use of Ashwin.
No, Ashwin is more important for India. I mean, players who are useless in the Indian setup, like Rohit Sharma and the other batters, they could have gone and played Ranji, is what my thinking is. Like, Ashwin is very essential.
Listen, that goes against the narrative, because even without Rohit Sharma, that Mumbai did defeat Tamil Nadu.
There was this interesting segment that Atherton and Hussain did on Sky Sports. They spoke to Joe Root and they asked Joe Root about comparing and contrasting Ashwin and Nathan Lyon. Right? And it was an interesting answer where he said that Nathan Lyon works much more on, like, working on your patience, right? Like, he's much more he's like the marathon bowler. He's using a lot of overspin. He's trying to get the bounce enough to trouble you. He usually on the first day, he will bounce the ball between your sort of like slightly above your waist, so that, you know, you're disconcerted by the bounce and you're getting that. He's getting you in short leg, or he's getting you edging bat pad. He also said that he also works on you, you know, over time. But on the other hand, he said Ashwin is looking for a wicket every ball. Like, he is trying to work you out every single time. It's not like he's, you know, he's not always like playing the long game. He's like trying in that spell, he's trying to get you out. So I just thought it was an interesting way. I mean, this could be very reducing what they're doing in a very simplistic sense.
No, he actually mentioned something that KD was also pointing out during the test, no? About Ashwin's drift, how Ashwin tries to, with his drift, he tries to get the batter out of whatever position that they might eventually get in. That is something that is interesting, that Root picked it up. And I mean, he's a great batsman, and the analysts tell him all these things.
Really? You think it's amazing that Joe Root picked up something that even I observed?
No, it's good he mentioned it, is what he's saying.
Player, man. Joe
Root, I'm saying he mentions it. No,
in the last 80 years.
But he mentions it. No, it's not like Ashwin showed great character and intent and perseverance. Yeah,
come on, man. This is three guys who have all played 100 test matches talking to each other, man. They're not going to talk like that. Come on. You think that Nasir Hussain is going to ask Joe Root about, well, you know, what do you think about, you know, you face Ashwin and Lyon so much.
Hold on.
Joe Root is going to say, Ashwin has great character.
That way, even Sunil Gavaskar has played 125 test matches. All the things that he says about Ashwin is, you are a thinker. You are the student of a game. You think about what you do. I mean, as if other cricketers never think about...
Never asked him or never heard him explain what he thinks of Ashwin as a bowler. No, you only heard him on commentary. Where, you know,
what are you saying? When people ask him about Ashwin as a bowler, he never says he gets the drift. He says he's a student of the game. What does student of the game mean, man? What the hell is this? He's a thinker.
I'm also a student of the game.
Everybody, I mean, this is like ridiculous, dude. I mean,
I'm not a student of the game. Huh? I'm just auditing.
But anyways, but it's good that...
Talking of Ashwin, I've got to give it to KD. KD wrote a great piece on Ashwin. I think all of you, if you've not read it, please go and read it. It is a fantastic piece.
KK also wrote a good piece. I think both of those.
There are a lot of good pieces on Ashwin.
Lot and all, I don't know. Yeah, few maybe.
Lot means more than two.
Yeah, okay.
I'm glad you defined it. Sorry, Sidi, on your
two
point.
Two is the minimum to have like more than like plural number of like to say pieces. Lot no, means man, you I mean, can have more than two. Like if three. You have three, yeah. Then it's lot.
Yeah. Okay, three. We have three.
No, on your point about Nazir Hussain saying that Ashwin is always trying to get you out. But that's always a very tricky territory.
Not Nazir Hussain. Joe Root.
Oh, sorry, Joe Root. That's always a very tricky territory, right? Sometimes you're like, I mean, Shardul Thakur also technically wants you to get every out, you know, out of every ball. I'm saying sometimes that's held against a bowler saying, oh, he's restless and impatient and he's looking to get a dismissal every ball. And you should be patient and you should be relentless with your length and wait for things to happen. So, and I get what they're saying. I'm just saying like, to look at it simply like that can be sometimes misleading. I mean, of course, Root is talking from his perspective and he's operating at a different level, right? He's basically assuming you understand the 95, first 95. I'm only explaining the last five. But it's not, I'm just saying it's a lot more complex than that. It's not like, I mean, Ashwin is also working on something and he's also quite patient, except that he just has a lot more things up his sleeves and he can work on a lot of things. It's not like, I mean, I'm sure if Lyon had the variety that Ashwin had, he would also be pretty much bowling the same way.
No, and also Root can only talk about his personal experience of playing, right? I mean, Ashwin will probably bowling totally differently to if you talk to a Steve Smith or if you talk to someone else. I mean, I'm saying Joe Root cannot speak for all the batters out there who Ashwin bowls to.
Oh, so. I think...
No, that is true. And also, Root is...
I think Joe Root can describe what Ashwin does better than pretty much anybody else. You know, same as Steve Smith can describe everything that Ashwin does pretty much better than anybody else. Because... they are not just watching him bowl to them, no. They are watching him bowl to everybody. They are watching video, they are studying, they are thinking about what he's doing. The same with Jasprit Bumrah, the same with Pat Cummins, the same with all these great bowlers. You know, Joe Root could probably tell you, like, list all of Ashwin's variations. And he could tell you chapter and verse of all the variations of Ashwin's bowls. You know, when he gets the ball to drift, when he gets the ball to dip, when he bowls more overspin, when he bowls with a parallel seam, when he bowls the carom, you know, what he's thinking, what he's trying to do, so on and so forth. He could write like a textbook on Ashwin, I'm pretty sure. For that matter, I think even Ollie Pope could write that textbook on Ashwin. You know, but the point is that however badly or well they fare against Ashwin, that's besides the point, you know, that they all understand or think about what he's trying to do. I mean, the point is that Ashwin is not Ashwin because people don't know what he's going to do. Okay, Ashwin is Ashwin because people know exactly what he's going to do and everything that he's going to do and they still don't survive. Okay. So... we have these obsessions, you know, with moments in test matches and mystery in a bowler, you know, like it you know, I mean, cricket is not pulling a fast one over the opposition, man. It is extreme skill, man. You know, it's like Kumble said, you know, like, yeah, they pick the googly, but they still have to play it. You know, that's what it is. Now, you get occasionally like a situation where I don't think Ben Stokes is picking Kuldeep Yadav from the hand at all. You know, and I'm pretty sure he's trying. I'm pretty sure he's like looking at video. He's trying. He's looking, studying. But he's still not mastered picking Kuldeep Yadav. And sadly for him, he doesn't seem to survive long enough in the middle, because it's not like there are easy bowlers who he can play and milk and, you know, get in against before he gets to face Kuldeep Yadav. No, I mean Ben Stokes is at a particular disadvantage against India and India, because he has a problem against Ashwin, because he doesn't pick Ashwin straight away, and he doesn't pick Kuldeep Yadav's googly. And that's a really bad position for a batter to be in against any team. When you have two bowlers who you're not reading at all, you have a problem.
And then you have Bumrah, right?
And then you have like Jasprit Bumrah. It's not like there's anybody who's going to give you sighters.
No, but that's how the game works. No? The point is, if you have an Ajinta Mendes, for instance, Mendes pre-video could have been a more successful bowler. But post-video analysis, you know, he was found out pretty soon. But that's the point about mystery, right? Mystery gets found out. But this is not mystery. This is craft. This is skill. This is, you know, being able to repeat yourself with the ability to do so much on the ball. And you know, like the googly is not a mystery. It is it's like in swing and outswing, right? Like it's not like people can't pick it, but it's not about picking. It's about how you play it. And both requires different adjustments. And, you know, the more I watch Kuldeep, the more, like, I mean, part of the reason why Kuldeep is also so unique and so exciting to watch is it's like we've seen great leg spinners, right arm leg spinners in the past, but it's very rare to see left arm leg spinners of this quality. First of all, that species itself is very rare. And you get such an extraordinary exception in that species. Then, I mean, even for batsmen, I'm sure they're not used to that angle. Perhaps even picking googly from that angle is way, way different from picking right arm, you know, over the wicket leg spinner. You know, it's exotic, but exotic of a very, very high quality.
Mahesh, even if you pick the googly, no, like the ball drifts so much. Like these batters, like all of them, you see, like they're trying to line up the ball, but like the very last minute, they're not able to line up the ball because it's drifting so much. It's not that the ball is going straight in the air and then turning and then going straight in the air and then going on straight. You know, if it's just doing that, then batters will not miss the line of the ball like that. You know, like batters rarely miss the line of a straight ball. Like at test level, like these test batters, I think that's probably something that happens to them like once in like 5,000 deliveries or something like that, where they miss the line of a straight ball, if that, you know. But they will miss the line of the ball if the ball drifts, you know, if the ball swings in the air. You know, but the thing is, like, the fast bowler's swing normally is a little bit easier to play than the spinner's drift, because when the ball is swinging, it usually, if it seems, it also seems in the same direction. And if it doesn't seem, it goes on straight. So then swing is easier to cover because at least you can see it. You have time to react because it happens before the ball pitches. Same with drift. But like you don't know, like if you're not picking Kuldeep's googly, for instance, and he gets the ball to start on leg stump and drift towards off stump, and you don't know whether it's going straight on with the arm towards first slip or whether it's turning back into the stumps, then you have a problem, man. You're in a lot of trouble at that point. The best you can do is you sort of hope, you defend your stumps and hope, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Bairstow in the first innings gets out caught behind. Bairstow in the second innings gets out LBW. I mean, you know, both of which I think he was done in by the drift. I mean, one ball sort of goes slightly away or goes along, and the other ball comes in. He missed
both. I don't even think he's picking it from the hand, man. I mean, I don't think he has a clue. Same with Stokes. I don't think they can correctly, you know, identify which will go straight, and that's a huge problem.
No, but I think the problem is, even if they do pick it, even if you do pick it from the hand, then there's so much else more that's happening in that period before it reaches you. So that is, I think, the bigger problem. So even if you know which way it's turning, that's one thing. But then there are three other things you have to factor in before you play it. No. Anyway, so what else? What else is there to discuss? I think
Rohit Sharma made a century.
Rohit Sharma.
We ignored his previous century also. You remember?
But at least we gave him credit for shot of the match.
we ignored Jaiswal through the series. Fellow got man of the series also. We are still ignoring him through the series. Though we occasionally...
Not only are we ignoring him, we are cursing him for getting that. Instead of Finchin, we are nominating three other people who should have got it.
Jaiswal, who decided to... That Shoaib Bashir was needed to go and hammered him for some three sixes. And then fellow got stumped also. He could have easily got another... He could have actually beaten the Gavaskar's record, you know, on this pitch. So I thought he was like going to get another 150 or something and beat that record.
Actually, Indians played a lot more attacking shots than England. So consequently...
They played a lot better. I wouldn't say a lot more.
They took the leaf out of the baseball book.
I think Himanesh put a tweet about that, right? I mean, that table explains everything.
Yeah, and then therefore it is logical that a lot of people who should have gotten hundreds got out in 50s. Like Sarfraz, couple of 50s could have turned into hundreds also.
Poor fellow got run out in his first innings. And then
this one he just guided. Yeah. Yeah, he guided it into...
He pissed off Gavaskar. Yeah, Saniji.
was angry that Jurel threw it away.
Or even Sarfraz.
Again, Jurel, yeah. Sarfraz.
In this test, when India was leading by 200...
This test also... Sarfraz, when he got out, he said that he met him the previous day with a common friend, acquaintance. And he spoke about how Don Bradman began every... when he faced every ball, he began as if he was batting on zero. And he said that Sarfraz, first ball after tea, he has come out and he has given it away. So, little bit of a slap he gave him online. I find Sarfraz fascinating. I mean, just not saying, you know, anything about... Just to watch him bat. I mean, there is something very unique about Sarfraz Khan and the way he bats, the way he bats against pace, the way he bats against spin, the way he... the shots he decides to play, the body positions he gets himself into. It's really different to watch. Lovely player.
I just think, like, what must it be like to be Johnny Bairstow, man? The guy is playing 100 test match. And, like, this Shubman Gill and Sarfaraz Khan are, like, trolling him, man. And, like, it all gets caught on the stump mic, you know? And Sarfaraz Khan is, like, in his third test match, okay? And see, he's saying, like, now that he's made a few runs, now he started talking. Are what the fuck? Like, okay, one small saving grace was that, like, Sarfaraz said it in Hindi. Like, so Bairstow probably didn't hear it. Like, but Gill is like, you know, it's like when you're winning 4-1 now, all these things work. But, like, what a sad thing to happen to the guy in his 100th test match.
There was a shot that Sarfaraz Khan played of, it was probably of Wood. It was not a full ball at all. It was like short of length. It was quick. And he just lifts it past the bowler, past his head for four. You remember that shot, right? Like beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, how does this guy, like, he plays... I mean, he could have played any other shot with it, or he could have defended it. He could have done anything. But it's just like suddenly he plays his shots that are like, what the hell? Where did that come from?
That IPL... his IPL career has ruined his reputation. I mean, in IPL, he just... tries to hit, gets out often. So everybody decided this guy is kind of a useless attacking batsman.
Wait, you are saying he tries to hit shots and gets out? So he's already better than Kohli?
Wait, but IPL, his career is still going stronger. What? IPL is like pretty much, he's out, right?
Yeah, because he's not had like sustained success and all that. But
yeah. You he had like watch one him. Good you, season. Yeah.
You should watch his Ranji innings. He is like amazingly crazy, man. I mean, he goes berserk. Once he gets to 50, 60 and all, he's like mad. Same with Shreyas Iyer. They go mad.
No, Gill used to be like that. Gill was exactly that. Like, and some of the sixes that he was hitting in this innings reminded me of his Ranji days. The guy just goes nuts. And he can whack the balls out of the ground so easily. I mean, the way he batted in this innings, it was one of those innings which you remember for a long, long time. If Sachin had played that innings, we would remember for our lives.
And this was just another innings for him in this series. I mean,
this was his best of the series, easily. Maybe
yeah, he was in so much control against Anderson, against Wood. And
come on, if you're seeing Sunil Gavaskar, you will not say this is his best innings. His best innings was the fourth test where he didn't hit a boundary until India were like near the victory. Then he hit a six.
Yeah. That was a very good innings too. I agree. But in terms of just sheer batsmanship, like quality and the kind of Shuddh Ghee that we were told, we could see why Amol Muzumdar saw that in him, because there was a geometric perfection to this innings and the sound that the ball, I mean, it was like every ball, like whatever he was hitting was going exactly where he wanted to go. Like that level of class in that innings. Brilliant. Anyway, I think we have covered everything. Devdutt Padikkal, okay, good start. We will wait and watch. Rajat Patidar, fellow, poor guy got injured, man. I mean, we're there before this.
Okay, don't get otherwise, started, please.
Otherwise, he would have played this test, I think. But fellow got injured. But okay, good
talent,
for
talent.
Devdutt got his...
Talent calling talent.
Devdutt got his debut. By the way, third St. Joseph's Boys High School alumnus to play for India. Rahul Dravid in tests, Robin Uthappa in ODIs, and Devdutt now. So it's very important for moment for St. Joseph's Boys High School. So with that, I think we can wrap this pod. We can wrap this series. And we can say that Om Shanti to all concerned, to quote thank you to all our listeners who have been engaging with us through the series, listening to us, passing comments, putting comments in Spotify and on our website and on Twitter or X as it is now known. Thanks to all of you who have been chipping in on Ko-fi. That's ko-fi.com/81allout. We've had a bit of an uptick during this series of listeners and followers on Twitter and X, and it's been great. It's been great to chat about this as it is with any other test series that India plays, and it's going to be now a while before that happens. But some exciting test cricket coming up later in the year. But as of now, we will have some other action, and we will keep continuing to pod and bring you some conversations and interviews and hopefully some interesting stuff. You can also pick up the books that we have republished. I will give links to that. War Minus the Shooting by Mike Marchese, which is a fantastic travelogue that covers the 1996 World Cup. The best I have read about that World Cup and about cricket in India at that time, and how the game changed gradually around that period, and how that World Cup was a big factor in that whole process of change. There's also Cricket Beyond the Bazaar by Mike Coward, talking about Australia's tours to the subcontinent in the 80s, and The Summer Game by Gideon Hay, which is a classic on cricket in Australia in the 1950s and 60s. So thank you for listening. We hope to join you in about a week or 10 days' time. Thank you, Ashoka. Thank you, Mahesh. Thank you, Karthikeya. Good night and take care.
India have won the series. They're going to get back for two. India at home. Lords goes wide.